From the studios of Radio Sai at Prashanti Nilayam, I am Chandu Vijay and this is Love to Love. At the very outset, a happy Diwali to all our listeners. May the light within shine brighter and brighter every day. And today, we have a talk by Professor Deepak Anand, Professor at the Department of Management Studies, Sri Sathisai Institute of Higher Learning, Prashanti Nilayam Campus. This talk was delivered in Dharmakshetra on the 30th of September 2017 and is full of some amazing personal experiences. Stay tuned, dear listeners. After the talk, you will be treated to some melodious music from the album Sai Darshan by Srimati Kavita Subramanyam. And at 3:30 p.m., we will have the live Telugu segment, Sri Satya Sai Divya Sandesha Jhari. With that, over to Professor Deepak Anand.
It gives me a great sense of joy and satisfaction to be in the precincts of that holy place which has been blessed profusely by Bhagwan's presence. In some way or the other, Swami has touched all of us. In some way or the other, Swami has transformed all of us. In some way or the other, Swami has infused Himself into our lives. Let me narrate to you one small instance. We were with Swami, and at that time, Swami had some hip injury. Swami's shoulder was not moving very well. Swami was on the physical level in excruciating pain. And every time we will get an occasion, we will bow down to Him, plead to Him and say, Swami, You have cured millions by Your mere sankalpa. Swami, if You will, You can walk right now. Swami, why don't You cure Yourself? Every day we will shed tears, wash His lotus feet with our tears and plead to Him and say, Swami, please cure Yourself. Swami, we would like to see You walking again and not confined to this wheelchair. Why have You taken this upon Yourself? And Swami would always smile and say, You know what, children? This body of Bhagwan has not come for itself. It is for the sake of devotees. You talk about my limbs not being fine. Do you understand the meaning of the limbs of Bhagwan? The Satya Sai Seva organizations are the limbs of Bhagwan. Till the time the Satya Sai Seva organizations are afflicted by power struggle, by jealousy, by egoism, by selfishness, how can Swami walk again? Till the very end, we kept pleading to Swami and He kept promising that He will walk again. But maybe somewhere, as devotees of Swami, we also were not able to contemplate deep enough and set right Swami's body in the way that He wanted. But also let us understand that Swami said, Satya Sai Seva organizations and its various forums are my limbs. To be associated with Satya Sai Seva organizations is to be associated with Swami Himself. That is Swami's own words. Let us never forget this particular aspect. Yes, Swami takes care of everyone. From beginning to end, if we understand how much Swami has taken care of us, I would say, even if for 100 lifetimes our skins were to be made into His slippers, it is not sufficient. We have not been grateful enough for the God who is so merciful, so benevolent, ever giving, never asking in return. To be associated with Satya Sai Seva organizations is to be associated with Swami's body itself. We are the cells of Swami's body if we associate. If we go away from Satya Sai Seva organizations, we live our own fate. Yes, Swami is always there with us, but we have made that choice, and that is why we will have to go through the trial and tribulations of going away from Swami's body. We must understand that Swami has laid for us a beautiful highway that takes us directly to Him. When we take the flight from Delhi to Mumbai, we don't have to row the boats. We don't have to stop at traffic signals. We don't have to take a train journey. We directly fly in 1.5 hours from Bangalore to Mumbai. But if we want to travel by walk, that path is also available to us. Going away from Swami's organizations is like walking the path to Him. Yes, then you have to cross all the trials and tribulations that will come your way. And for that, we ourselves will only be responsible. That is why in our journeys to Bhagwan, we have to understand certain important aspects. First of all, who is Swami? The second aspect is, what is His nature? The third aspect is, where are we in respect to Bhagwan? If Bhagwan is a destination at this point in time, where do we stand in respect to that particular goal? Fourth, what path we should take to Bhagwan, which is the best? And fifth is, what is the next best step that we must take? Some of these things, if we clarify, and if we are clear about, Swami would always say, be clear, the rest will follow. Who is Bhagwan Baba? Somebody asked Swami, he was invited to our campus for a moral class, and he shared his experience. And he asked Swami, this youth leader from Karnataka, and he asked, Swami, what is God's true nature actually? And Swami said, it is light. Understand that it is light. Light, which is both has got a form, and it also doesn't have beyond form. One day, we were all sitting in the presence of Bhagwan in the interview room. And the girl students of the primary school were putting up a gratitude program. And the students were singing beautiful songs and bhajans with great fervor, with great devotion. Songs like, Tu Pyar Ka Sagar Hai, Teri Ek Boond Ke Pyaase Hum, O Ma, Sai Ma, Jab Koi Baat Bigad Jaye. Every moment of our life. And Swami was literally melted. In fact, Swami used to come into the interview room to wipe His tears. So He will come, take up His wipe His tears and look at us. And then Swami said, see, look at the devotion of these little girls. I don't even speak to them on a regular basis, but even then their devotion is par excellence. And we said, yes, Swami, their devotion is par excellence. And then Swami went out. He said, let my chair be shifted now from the gents to the ladies' side, near these children. I would like to listen to their songs from nearby. And Swami listened to those songs. Then Swami came back. He was totally melted. And Swami said, looking at us, He said, boys, I call you every day for interview. I talk to you on a daily basis. How many times you have traveled with me. But even then, compared to these little children, these girls, your devotion is nothing. I felt slightly hurt. I said, I thought probably, you know, we are in form. Swami speaks to us. That is why we are devotees. We had made we had given ourselves benefit of doubt, so to say. But here was Swami putting us in our right place. And said, compared to these, certainly, the devotion of ladies is always much greater than men. But here Swami was starting to compare our devotion to theirs. So here came in the problem for us. So Swami went out again, came back, and then started giving examples and similes of what our devotion was. Swami said, your devotion is like of those frogs who sit in the marsh, make croaking sounds, and don't know the value of the fragrance and the beauty of the lotus flower. You are like those. You keep talking devotion, devotion. Swami will love you, Swami will love you. It's like croaking of those frogs. But compared to these, you don't even have an iota of devotion. Now this became too much for me to take. And as Swami passed by me, I got up to my knees and I held Swami's full arm from below to up and said, Swami, it was like a crisis for me. I said, Swami, please give me devotion, Swami. At least now give me devotion. Okay, God, you had forgotten to give me devotion in the beginning of time. But you are God. You can at least give me devotion now. Yes, I am like a frog who doesn't have devotion. I am nothing in comparison. They are like the Mount Everest and I am like the deep valley. Fine, it's okay. But at least now give me that devotion. For a moment, Swami glared at me. And He removed His hand from my grips with Herculean strength. I felt Swami had become upset with me. And I looked at him a little stunned. Swami went behind me and gave me a whack. It was not a slap. It was not a tap. It was not anything which is simple and humble. It was a whack. For 1 second, I saw stars in front of my eyes. And tears involuntarily brimmed to the brink of my eyes. I thought, God, Swami comes. He's become really angry with me because Swami gave me such a whack. I looked at Swami totally stunned, and Swami looked towards me and said, did I hurt you? Very coolly, did I hurt you? Now what do I reply, yes or no? I didn't know, so I kept quiet. And I was aghast when Swami gave himself also a similar whack on his own head. That broke me down completely, and I started shedding tears, holding his feet, and said, Swami, why did you do that? How can God ever hurt? God only loves. God only bestows. God only gives. Swami, why did you ever hit your own self? I started crying bitterly, holding his feet, and Swami removed his feet and said, now go out and sit. My breath as if left me for good. I thought something has gone amiss. Absolutely. But now look at my status. I'm moving out of the interview room from Bhagwan's presence and moving out. With every step that I am taking out, I see the world change around me. I see that a magnificent white light is not just pervading, but constituting everything in the universe. The people, the places, the floor, the roof, the furniture, me, Swami, every devotee sitting there is actually constituted by that brilliant white light. And as I go out and sit, I am not able to control. That experience is so overwhelming, so overwhelming. And I start to hear the end part of Omkaram, the sound of that's the last part of the Omkaram, pervading everywhere. It took me a lot of time to come back to my own senses. What Swami can grant us, what Swami can give us, what Swami can bestow upon us in one fraction of a second, in one whack, maybe for you and me, otherwise will take a million years to get. Maybe will take a thousands of lifetimes to get. Swami is the one who alone is capable, who knows absolutely the karmic balances that we hold from all our previous lives, and in one fraction of a second, he can cancel them and give us a new life. Nobody else can. No guru can, no saint can, no sage can. Sometimes we get very enamored by miracles. Sometimes we also will go to Swami and say, Swami, holidays time, we went to that particular place, that vibhuti is coming, that lady is there who is giving God lingam and another Swami. Swami will be very unimpressed by our narration. Swami said, boys, if you go to somebody and ask him for a visiting card and he gives you one, the next day again you go to that person and ask him for a visiting card, he may give you still. Maybe you lost the previous visiting card. Third day again you go and ask for a visiting card. Fourth day again you go ask for a visiting card. That person will say something is wrong with you. You've gone mad. Yesterday, the last 3 days I've been giving you a visiting card. The fourth day again you come and ask for the same visiting card. Are you mad? Swami says, yes, miracles do happen. I give certain powers to certain individuals for a small span of time. But that's an individual grace given to an individual or to their family. It is not for public exhibition. It is not for collection of money. It is not for making a big show out of it. If someone does that, absolutely don't trust. Don't go. Why? Because ultimately, the purpose of life is not to see miracles. Is the purpose of life is to go within and realize what a big miracle you already are. Is there a greater miracle than all of us? One Mr. Kasturi was sitting along and their hands were nearly touching each other on the dining table. And then there was a discussion about miracle. And then Mr. Kasturi, Swami, I want to see a miracle. Swami said, you are my greatest miracle. He said, Swami, how? Swami said, see, There are trillions of cells in you, each living, each working in perfect coordination. From one cell of your parents, you were born and all the faculties were granted to you. And you continue to have those faculties till your lifetime for 100 years. Without stopping, your heart continues to beat all the time. Without stopping, your lungs continue to breathe. Your blood circulation continues to happen. All your internal organs, your eyes continue to see the entire cosmos. Is it not a miracle? What greater miracle is there for us to see than our own bodies? And that is why never ever be attracted by miracles. Understand that you alone are the greatest miracle that Swami has created. But in our journeys onto Him, we have had various stops. We have had various bottlenecks. We have had various lifetimes. Let us try to understand that it is Swami and Swami alone that can make us overcome all these past accumulated samskaras and make our journey onto Him smoother and straightforward. Let me tell you by one very personal experience, which I have not narrated in other forums, but I am now motivated to share that also with you. It was in the year 1999 that we had gone to Kodaikanal. After we come back from Kodaikanal, normally it is life as usual. You go and stay in the hostel. Swami will not talk to you, look at you, and you become a normalized human being. You come to the real ground level after being in Kodaikanal hills for a long time. But that particular year, Swami continued to shower His grace upon us, gave us separate rooms on the Treasury side and said, boys, I will call you separately. You can come and, you know, be with me, have lunch with me, or I'll call you for special sessions. And it continued to be. But suddenly one letter came. And the letter came from where? From the principal of the college in Puttaparthi, asking Swami that the research scholars be sent back to Puttaparthi for entrance examination duties. And we thought our honeymoon had ended. Swami called us and said, boys, all the research scholars, please pack up your luggage, go. Your mother-in-law is calling you, you have to go and do examination duty. He said, we held on, Swami, you are our mother, father, guide, guru, everything, Swami. Please don't put us in the hands of the mother-in-law, Swami, please keep us here, please keep us here, please keep us here. So with our pleadings and all that, Swami also, you know, put His hand on His face and said, haan, kuch sochta hai, let me think of something, kuch tarika nikalna hoga. And then He said, haan, all the research scholars are today onwards on security duty to Swami. And we thought, Swami, what an lame excuse to make. Security duty to Swami. That means what? The Brahmananayaka Purnavatar, who is managing the entire galaxies by the wave of His hand, He has to be given security by us, by we mortals. Swami said, don't worry about all that. Two of the boys sleep in my room, three boys outside, remaining boys sleep on the ground floor. Today onwards, I'm sending word that all of you are on security duty. So you cannot come to Puttaparthi. We said, Swami, great, thank you very much. We have really, this is a great escape. So on the first day, Swami called us, me and one other boy, inside His room at 6 p.m. So we were very excited. We had heard so many stories. We'll see light, Saptarishis will come, Mother Isharama will come, she will distribute gold chains, and you know, probably we also will get something in the process as byproducts. We're all imagining sort of lot of things. At 6 p.m. Swami came. He called us inside. So we closed the door behind us, and there were two beddings which were rolled up and kept. We were supposed to unroll them and sleep. Just imagine, at 6:15 every day, actually I go to play for 1 or 1.5 hours. But at 6 o'clock in the evening, I'm supposed to go to bed. Now naturally there was no sleep. And then so much of excitement about what is going to happen now. What is going to happen? The entire night, me and my other friend, we were not able to sleep at all. We were just observing Swami. And let me tell you, the next 77 days I observed this. Swami does not sleep at all. Swami is beyond hunger and sleep. He doesn't require all these 5 elements to be taken care of as we require. Somebody asked Swami, do you take sustenance from the cosmic energy for your 5 elements? Swami said, no, I sustain the 5 elements. What are you talking? I don't need energy from the cosmic energy. I am the cosmic energy. And I sustain 5 elements. You are taking it absolutely wrong. Swami doesn't sleep, but Swami sometimes rinses His mouth and in the night. So the first day after we came out, me and the other boy, we had no sleep at all the entire night. 4 o'clock, Swami clicked His fingers and said, come on, get up and go to your room. So we went to our room. There was no place to sleep. So I found some place on the sofa. And I took somebody else's pillow, now that he was unaware, and I put it on my sofa and I slept. I did not sleep. The moment I put my head on the pillow, I started seeing magnificent, beautiful lights of various hues and colors. Brilliant. One after another, a firecracker show of unprecedented beauty or imagination inside me. It continued for 4 to 5 minutes' time. I was amazed. It was not a state of either awakening or sleep. It was something between that. I was not conscious of my surroundings, but I was totally conscious of what's happening inside of me. I saw all these lights, and they subsided after some time. And then I intuitively knew what I was seeing now were my previous lifetimes. My previous lifetime, the way I was, previous to that, previous to that, previous to that. Something like 10 to 12 lifetimes in a semicircular fashion, but I could not decipher beyond the third or the fourth lifetime. And I got up. And that very moment, it came to my memory, that particular instance that happened that year in Kodaikanal. That year in Kodaikanal, 1999, Swami had materialized a clay model of Lord Buddha. And Buddha was keeping his hands on the navel, and there was a pot containing nectar called the Purnakumbham inside it. And then Swami explained to us the Kundalini process. Swami said how the energy which is there in the base of your spine from the Mooladhara goes to Swadhisthana, then Manipurika. Manipurika, Swami said, is a very important center in your body which is close to your navel region. Swami said, this is your subconscious mind where the impressions of all your previous lifetimes are stored in subtle form. Unless this Manipurak chakra is pierced and you go above that, you will not be able to live your life in the center of love, that is your heart. You will not be able to reach the center of neck, which is your power. You will not be able to come to terms with the center between your bros, which is the Agya chakra, center of peace. And be not be able to realize the center of bliss, which is Sahasrara. Swami said, ultimately the purpose of human life is to express and experience the Brahmanandam which is there at the center of your head, on the top of your head. Unless you pierce the Manipurak chakra, below that actually you are animal. From the navel region to the heart region, we are human. From the heart region upwards, we become divine. Ultimately, we become one with Brahma. We are able to realize only when we reach and pierce the Sahasrara, the center at the top of the head. At that very moment when I got up and saw my previous lifetimes, I understood very clearly that in the presence of Bhagwan, being in his physical presence that particular night had taken me beyond the Manipurak chakra. That is why the subtle impressions of all my previous lifetimes are visible to me vividly as I see all of you seated here. This is what Swami is. This is what Swami can grant. This is the value of being in his presence. We pray to so many gods and goddesses. Swami says, his Shirdi Sai avatar. Of course, Shirdi Sai and Parthi Sai both physically came to me in Delhi and partook fruits from me. But I'll tell you later when I came to Swami. I used to visit Shirdi Baba temple every day. I was doing my ICWA finals and the institute was in Lodhi Road, was close to Shirdi Baba temple. And I will leave my books at the desk and forget all about them. Then go to Shirdi Baba temple and just shed tears of joy looking at the devotees singing the various glories of Shirdi Baba, offering fruits, flowers and fragrances, cloths and singing bhajans and aartis. It was an amazing experience for me. I would spend nearly the entire day and parents would think I've gone to study to the college. Here I was sitting, spending my entire time with Shirdi Baba and enjoying his presence. So when I finally got admission, and you know about it in the introduction that it took me 6 years' time. And that is an experience by itself. In 92, when I came for the second time as Sevadal, Swami was in Vrindavan. And Swami looked towards me in darshan. Delhi boy? Good boy. And he gave vibhuti. I was ecstatic. For the first time Swami spoke to me. And he gave me vibhuti. Second darshan, that very evening, Swami looked towards me and said, hey, Delhi boy? Yes. Good boy. And gave vibhuti. Second time. How? Twice morning and evening I got vibhuti from Swami. Next day morning darshan. Delhi boy. Yes, Swami. Good boy. Gave vibhuti. Then I got the courage enough to ask Swami what I wanted to ask him. And I said, Swami, at that time I was in the BCom on a second year in Delhi, in Delhi University. And then I said, Swami, I want MBA seat, Swami, in your university. And Swami said, Zarur. From a devotee took a letter. Again looked back to me and said, Zarur. Six assurances, I thought, for one boon asked by me. I got it, I thought. I may not be able to complete my BCom honors in Delhi University, but I'll certainly get an MBA seat because Bhagwan gave me an assurance six times. Every time I applied, no reply. Every time I applied, no reply. I did my MCom and got the gold medal there to be able to just get a first division to be able to apply for Bhagwan's university. But apply, no reply. 23rd November 94, I got a job. 23rd November morning, somebody gives me a call and says, hey, you had applied long back. You've been selected. Please come and take your letter of appointment. I said, wow, this is a gift from Swami. 23rd November. And I joined. Again, I kept applying. No reply. In 97, suddenly my application got accepted. And I came to Swami. And Swami came. Swami was in Kodaikanal. I went after my interview to Kodaikanal. Gave him my admit card. Swami took it away. And I thought I will be able to get the seat that particular year. And I did. And when I came to Swami, I asked him, Swami, in 92 mein aapko aapne bola. I bola, 6 baar bola na, 6 saal mein mila na, this is the right time for you. And then I realized, his planning works for the reason that when I finished my MBA with an outstanding grade, that year Swami started the PhD program after a gap of 11 years. Now who can beat his planning? Because Swami knows exactly what to give you, how to give you, and what is the best time for it. In 97 when I came in, 98, by Swami's grace, father joined as the editor of Sanatan Sarathi. But mother was living alone. In this particular experience, how we should pray to Swami, Swami explained to me very vividly. And I would like to share with you. In 99, still my mother was in Delhi and she was staying alone. When she came to Swami, Swami called her and said, see, your is government job. And she was a nursery teacher, awarded nursery teacher. Swami said, this is your government job. You must apply for retirement in a proper way. Otherwise, pension will be a problem. So father had already retired. He was getting his pension. He came off to Parthi immediately. Mother was living alone. The locality that we were staying was notorious for old, lonely women being murdered or looted and people run away. And she was staying there alone in a building where there was nobody else. And I was so scared for my mom. And one day I took a letter and I told Swami, Swami said, what is it? I said, Swami, letter, mother, Swami. Swami said, stamp lagao, Delhi bhejo. And said, Swami, letter is for you. And Swami asked, where am I? Now Swami is standing next to me, his robe is brushing against my nose and he is asking me, where am I? And naturally I said, Swami, you are everywhere. And Swami said, yes, that is true. But I truly live in the depths of your heart. I want you to pay attention to this particular response and conversation with Swami because it really opens a new vistas in our mind. And Swami said, yes, I am everywhere, but I truly live in the depths of your heart. The letter is still in my hands. And Swami said, whatever prayer you may have, live it with me in the depths of your heart. Whatever prayer you may have, live it with me in the depths of your heart. And then he said, if you ever have to pray, only pray, samasta lokaha sukhino bhavantu. I was aghast by the reply, but Swami did not end there. He said, because I am only samasta lokaha. Samasta lokaha is my body. When you do the action of samasta lokaha sukhino bhavantu, if that is what your prayer is, I also respond with reaction and response of sukhino bhavantu. I also is a reaction and response from me also. When you say, Swami, samasta loka sukhino bhavantu, then I also react and respond naturally. Every action must have a reaction. When you say, Swami, samasta loka sukhino bhavantu, I also have a reaction and response, sukhino bhavantu. And Swami said, then I will answer your prayers in your heart in the best possible way at the best time. Leave it to me. Leave it to me. And that is why that very moment I made a resolve. Swami, there is no need to even ask you for anything. Swami says, I am a mother filled with 1,000 hearts of love for you. A little child who needs milk has to even cry for that milk sometimes. But Swami, does he need to be even asked when he's the resident of our own hearts? Does he not know what we need? Does he not know what to give us? Does he not know what is the best time to give it to us? He knows it all. And that is why if ever we have to pray for ourselves or for anyone, the best prayer is Samasta Lokaha Sukhino Bhavantu. Because in any form, in any name that you pray to him, he only is responding. Not just in India, across the globe. One day Swami came for darshans at 6:30 in the morning. The Kulwant Hall gate was locked. The lights were off. His interview room was closed. In the nick of time, the portico in charge came and opened the door for Swami for him to enter. 6:30 he went inside, crossing across the ladies' line, and just without even putting on the lights, he just sat down there. And then he told that person, call the research scholars. We were in a half-bathed, half-shaven position. We all ran. With barefooted, we ran to Mandir. And we entered the room one by one. And Swami acknowledged our presence and then he closed his eyes again. I was sitting so close to Bhagwan. Was he even breathing? There was no movement from him for 45 minutes time. Then Swami opened his eyes, acknowledged our presence, again closed his eyes. Nearly 1 hour passed. Then Swami opened his eyes, breathed again. You could see that distinct breathing of his chest again. And then Swami, very in a whispering tone, he asked, what date is today? I said, Swami, 6th of August. And he said, what happened on this day? We had no idea what happened on this day. Nothing happened to us or around us. And he said, we just kept quiet. And then Swami himself said, this is the day that atom bomb was dropped on Hiroshima in Japan. And then Swami said, right now, in Osaka, my children are praying to me with lighted candles that such a catastrophe and holocaust that we suffered, Swami, it should never happen again. And Swami made a matter-of-fact statement and said, I listened to their prayers and came. I listened to their prayers and came. Sisters and brothers, to which Chinese gods were the people in Japan praying to? Followers of Taoism, Confucianism and Shintoism, which we don't even have, not even have heard about. They have their own gods and goddesses and deities to whom they pray. But tell me, when collectively we pray with Samasta Loka Sukhino Bhavantu in our hearts, Swami has to respond. Swami has to respond. That Swami says, a proper study of mankind is man. Proper study of mankind is man. Somebody asked Swami, Swami, you repeat that so often, that the proper study of mankind is man. What is the meaning of that? And then Swami told this devotee and said, if you are going in the forest and a thorn pricks your feet, what will you do? He said, Swami, I will remove it with my hand. And Swami said, why should the hand go and help? The hand is separate from the feet, is it not? Why should the hand go and help? Why should the mouth cry? Why should the eyes tear? Why should the entire body come together and help the feet? He said, Swami, because the hand and face and the entire body, the eyes, they also feel the pain of the, they also feel the pain that the feet is undergoing. And Swami said, that is the proper study of mankind is man. When one part of society is suffering, when one part of society is languishing behind, when one part of society is undergoing difficulties, should not the remaining part of society come together and help? That is our innate. That is why Swami says it is important for us to translate our action into karma yoga. Our action, our karma should become dharma. How will it become? It's a very simple process. It's a very simple process. In this andheri, what's the meaning of andheri actually? In Hindi, andheri means a dust storm that blinds you. And this dust storm of desires that is blinding us day in and day out, how in this dust storm, how will we be able to establish Dharma Kshetra in our own hearts? We cannot leave our jobs, we cannot leave our households, we cannot leave our corporate offices, we cannot leave the organizations, we have to work. And how do we translate our action into Karma Yoga and make our karma into dharma, the Dharma Kshetra be established in our own hearts? This process we have to think. Some boys were telling Swami one day and said, Swami, MBA course is so engrossing. So many core courses, so many electives, so many libraries, so many awareness classes, so many other responsibilities, so many projects, assignment, presentations. Swami, having come to Puttaparthi, there is no time to think about Swami. And you come to Puttaparthi and for Swami, Swami, there is no time to think about Swami. And Swami said, oh, you are so busy. You are so busy. And Swami said, after all that you are busy with, there are still 24 hours left. And boy was aghast, and Swami, how is it possible, Swami? And Swami said, very simple. When you get up in the morning, offer the day to me. When you go for Suprabhatam, think of me. When you go to play, play from my team. When you go to study, think that you are studying Swami's subject and the teacher is Swami himself. When you go to Mandir, then you are with me. When you eat the food, feed me. Don't think you are feeding yourself. Feed my mouth, not yours. When you go to sleep in the end, after study hours, put your head on Swami's lap and sleep and come back to me. Is it not that though you are so busy, 24 hours are still left to think about me? We should not separate Swami from us. Our brother, when he was introducing, he said, we also get lost in the process of our worldly life. And we forget Swami and we feel Swami is only in our puja room or Swami is only in Dharma Kshetra, Swami is only in our temple. It is not, because Swami is in the depths of our heart. Let us never ever forget that. Swami is, He is the essence of our being, and that is why Swami says, there are levels of human beings also. You have to judge yourself. Nobody will stand in judgment to yourself. There was one great devotee of Swami who was staying in the mandir. Swami called the entire family for an interview. He was a very scrupulous follower of Hindu customs. And Swami was talking about his son's marriage and Swami said, haan, kya sadhana karta hai? Ah, he got the opportunity. He was waiting to tell this to Swami. And he started off rantering. And Swami, 4 o'clock, Swami, I get up. Then uske baad Swami Suprabhatam ke liye jata hai, omkaram karta hai, uske baad mein brahmarpanam karta hai, khana khata hai, gram seva, narayan seva, medical camp ke liye jata hai Swami. Phir old people ke home mein jata hai, ye seva karta hai, wo seva karta hai, sandhya vandanam bhi karta hai Swami. Phir raat ko sone ke pehle Hanuman chalisa karta hun Swami, uske baad kanchan kritamva karta hun, sab kuch karta hun Swami. And Swami listened to him very patiently. He said, itna karta hai? Spirituality ki KG class mein kab tak rahega aise? He got a shock of his life. He was an old man. He spent his entire life in all these customs. And here was Swami telling him, ki spirituality ki KG class mein kab tak rahega aise? And he broke down and fell at Swami's feet and said, Swami, abhi main kya karun? Pura zindagi to beet gaya KG class mein. Abhi kaise? Swami said, haan, nahi, tension lene ka zarurat nahi hai. Tum preparation acha kiya hai. Main tumko BA degree dega. Double BA degree dega, BA, baba ke paas mein aana hai na, is life ke end mein, main tumko BA degree dega, par main jo bologa wo karega, karega Swami, aap jo bolega wo karega, acha dekho, interview room ke bahar jayega na, tumko koi bhi aadmi milega, tum sochna ki ye baba hi hai, tum sochna ki ye baba hi hai, acha Swami, ek dog milega na, aur dog se bhi sochna ki iske andar mein God hai, sochega, sochega Swami. अच्छा क्लाउड आता है वो भी पावर ऑफ गॉड है अच्छा रोज ब्लॉसम होता है वो भी बाय द पावर ऑफ गॉड है बर्ड्स एंड एनिमल्स यू सी अराउंड दैट इज आल्सो गॉड इन देम इफ यू थिंक लाइक दिस इफ यू सी यूनिटी इन डाइवर्सिटी आई विल माइसेल्फ कम एंड ग्रांट यू द BA डिग्री एंड ब्रिंग यू बैक टू मी प्लीज ट्राई टू अंडरस्टैंड द इंपोर्ट ऑफ व्हाट स्वामी इज टेलिंग अस. We have to move from diversity to unity. And till we do that, Swami will keep on giving us circumstances where we'll be forced. In everything that you see with form, is there not a formless behind it? You say a beautiful rose on an individual. Behind the rose, if there is not the invisible fragrance, and the indescribable beauty, will we be able to understand rose in its completeness? We have to go from form to formless. All his 70 years of discoursing, Swami kept telling us, I am not this form, I am not this form. One day we were having a conversation with Swami, and Swami was sitting where his samadhi was, samadhi is today. And Swami, in the course of talking about Rama's departure from earth, he told of us, after a few years, my samadhi will be here. We broke down in completeness. And Swami said, Swami, never ever, how can we ever live? Swami said, I am not this body. I am not this mind. You perceive me only through that level, through that lens. But if the body has come, the body will go. But I will always be here. The body has come, the body will go, but I will always be here. And that is why the significance of Puttaparthi is so great. Because Swami in this Kali Yuga chose Puttaparthi as a place of his leelas. He chose that circumstances to create, put the seeds of realization in all of our hearts. That air of Puttaparthi is what he has breathed. Every part of Puttaparthi is what Swami has built with his own hands. Every step he has himself walked. Every aspect of Puttaparthi he has himself taken care. What better or more conducive place can there be than Puttaparthi for the blossoming of the seeds of realization in our hearts? That is why Puttaparthi has great significance. But Swami says, do not confine me to this particular body because I am beyond. And that is why Swami says, I also judge you. And you must also judge yourself at your own level. What are the various levels that we see in us and around us? Swami says, there are six different levels of an individual. Some individuals will look at you from what you possess. Kitna maal wala hai, kitna bada gaadi hai, kitna uncha bangla hai. Swami says, that is the lowest level of vision. That is the lowest animal level of vision. You can't go further down than that. But some people will look beyond that and say, he's young or old, good looking, smart looking, he has hair or he's half bald. You look at that level, at the bodily level, good looking, bad looking. Swami says, second level of vision. You are a little better, but you are still quite worse. You're still at the animal level. And some people say, okay, what he has or what his body is like doesn't really matter. What is important is his mind, how he thinks. Right? What is his way of thinking? Where is he oriented? That is the third level of looking, of the vision. Swami says, beyond that, some people look, don't even at all these three levels. They look at your intelligence and say, whatever he may be way of thinking, but how intelligent he is, how he is able to discriminate between good and bad, right and wrong, how he is able to analyze every aspect and bring that in a succinct fashion in front of others, that intelligence actually is more important. Swami says, beyond that, some people have the vision of the emotional character of the individual and says, whatever be his intelligence, if he doesn't have control over his emotions, his intelligence will always be clouded. He will never be able to take right decisions. So what is more important is, emotionally, how much is he balanced? When we give him a tough task, does he cave in or does he come up to it? What is his EQ, emotional quotient? Some people have that vision of that. That is even deeper than that. And Swami said, beyond that is your character. Some people say, all this is not important. What essentially you are, what is your fundamental character, that is most important. Some people have even a deeper vision than that and they say, what is the character of this particular individual? That is more important. Swami said, there are only a few who will go beyond that and look at the same atmic source which is there in you and that individual. And say, all said and done, even that character is changing all the time. The real thing is that he has divinity within him as I have divinity within me. He and I are one. So sometimes we may have to judge ourselves and say, if I really want to go back to that one particular source which is Bhagwan Baba, do I have that vision of unity or not? Am I only fluttering at the shallow levels of the body, mind, intelligence, emotions and character? Everything that changes and can be seen as changing is untruth. Swami says, discrimination is very important. Please remember, whatever you can see as changing is untruth. The body is changing, whatever we have possessions keep changing. The body keeps changing, the mind keeps changing, emotions keep changing, intelligence keeps changing. Even before lunch and after lunch, intelligence levels are different. Is it not? Emotions keep changing. Even character keeps changing. Just before, the level of the Atma is the character. But just imagine, a highway robber called Ratnakara became the Adikavi Valmiki. And a Brahma Rishi called Vishwamitra, he got embroiled with Menaka and he became a householder. Then what can you talk about the judgment of anybody else in terms of anything? You can only judge yourself. You can only judge yourself. And that is why let us always stand in judgment only to ourselves. One day, in Kodaikanal, one devotee of Bhagwan who had been with Swami for n number of years, she said, Swami, hum log itni sadhana karte hain Swami, par hum laksh ke kitni dur hain, kaise malum chalega Swami? We are talking in Kodaikanal, and Swami asked in the evening, anybody has a question to ask? And she said, Swami, mujhe ek prashna puchna hai. Swami, hum itni sadhana karte hain. I am reminded of the same devotee who told, you know, from 4 to 8 in the night in the evening, I do sadhana. And Swami said, still in KG class. This lady is asking Swami, Swami, hum itni sadhana karte hain. Kaise malum chalega ki hum laksh ke aapke kitni dur hain abhi? How far are we from the goal? Pat came Swami's reply. Ask yourself, apne se poochho. Ask yourself, how deep, expansive and selfless is your love? That is the level of your distance from God. How beautiful is it not? Swami said, ask yourself, don't ask me. Ask yourself. Today when you go to bed, let us all ask ourselves. Why only that devotee should ask? Why can't we ask? Because we also were the recipient of the same benefit that Swami gave in reply to this lady. And Swami said, ask yourself, how deep is your love? We all say that, you know, we love so many people in our lives. But how deep is that love? Only skin deep? Little deep? Shallow love? No, then that is not true love we are talking about. How expansive is that love? Or is my love very narrow? I like this aspect of yours personality, but this aspect I will hate. Why? Because I don't like it. If you mold yourself in this particular way, then I have a chance of liking you. Otherwise, no chance. Then that means what? My love is not expansive, it is narrow. And how selfless is my love? Is it? And Swami says, your love should be as selfless as a love of 1,000 mothers. Your love should be as deep as the ocean, as expansive as the sky, and as selfless like the selfless love of 1,000 mothers put together. We are talking about that pristine nature of love. We all say that we love Swami. In one discourse, Swami was talking to all the devotees and said, you all say that you are great devotees. Tell me, who will come and drink the cup of poison like Mirabai did? Anybody is there? Volunteer. Come, I'll give you a cup of poison. Anybody will drink? Everybody was quiet. Who like Prahlada will jump off the mountain and say, I believe in Lord Narayana and he will protect me? Is there that level of faith in us? But there is possibility. That is why samarpan is what we require. And samarpan is the key to all the ills that and lacuna that we have in our spiritual life. I'll tell you one beautiful experience that expresses really in practical way what is the meaning of that surrender. And that surrender is so amazing because it releases us from everything else. Try to imagine that a wave for 1 second experiences itself as the ocean. Does it have any wave karma left for it? No. Just imagine for a few seconds that air in the balloon experiences itself as the all-encompassing air, even for a few fraction of a second. Does it have any balloon karma left for it? No. Just imagine that a streak of rainbow for 1 second experiences itself as the all-pervading light. Is there a rainbow karma left for it? No. So the release, the meaning of surrender is experiencing myself even for a fraction of a second that I am not the body, I am not the mind, I am not the intelligence, I am not the emotions and character. I am one with Swami. Experience matter. Explanation and theoretical understanding does not matter. You can listen to all the Upanishads. You can listen to a million Samarpan talks. Unless we are really samarpit, the aspects of spirituality, to find out the reality within us, till that time transformation will not come about. Let me give you an extreme example, which you should not emulate in your lives. Please, I will never try to emulate it. You also should not. But I'll tell you a practical example. It was in Kodaikanal that we were sitting, and there was one devotee from Tamil Nadu who would always talk about samarpan to Swami. He will talk, always talk about surrender to Swami. He will speak, he will only talk about surrender. And then Swami was telling about him. And what a great devotee he is. He is no more now. But Swami was really loved him a great deal because of his level of surrender. At that time, our All India President, sir, Srinivasan sir, was there with us. He has now merged in Swami. And he was telling about one instance in relation to this devotee. At one time, Swami gave his Mercedes-Benz car to this devotee and said, Ishwarama Day is coming. Go to Coimbatore and buy some dhotis and saris for distribution purpose. So he took it as Swami's command, took the keys and was about to go. But this devotee cannot see from one eye, other eye is blur, his hands keep shaking, he's an old man. And the All India President thought, this fellow, how will he be able to drive down to Coimbatore, get all this luggage and be able to manage to come back in time? Let me send one, young Sevadal with him. So he chose one Sevadal who knew Coimbatore and said, you go along with this devotee and make sure you all come back safely and soundly. So they were going down the hill. It was a Saturday evening and a lot of traffic was coming up to Kodaikanal. But the way this devotee was driving Swami's car was amazing to this Sevadal. He was driving so fast like a Ferrari. And he would, at great speed and so much control that the Sevadal was aghast and amazed. And he said, sir, what driving? Amazing. I could never imagine that a person like you who can't see from one eye is blurred, hands keep shaking all the time. You're not able to, you walk so slowly, but the way you are driving is amazing. At that very moment, just before a U-pin bend, this devotee left the steering wheel and looked towards him and said, who is driving? This Sevadal started shuddering and sweating and said his time for merging in Swami had come and said, Swami, you have to bring me back to you in this particular way with this madman. I'm coming to you, Swami. Just ahead of us is a valley and we are just about to come. Swami, please forgive me all my sins. I'm coming to you. But unimaginably, just before the U-turn bend, the car slowed down. It turned by itself, speeded up. The next U-turn bend is slowed down, took the turn, speeded by itself. This person again put his hand on the steering wheel and said, without looking forward, and said, now you understand. Now do you understand? One MBA boy, when he was sitting, MBA boys got an exit interview one time. And they were all leaving for the corporate world. And one boy was very worried about his job and everything else and his corporate career. He told Swami, 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 job kaise milega? Swami, kaise hoga? Swami, kahan pe interview dena hai? Swami, mujhe bahut tension ho raha hai. Swami put his hand on his shoulder and said, hey, relax, relax, relax. From the interview room, Swami showed him outside the Kulwant Hall, a hill which is far beyond. And Swami said, wo dekho, wo hill mein dekhta hai? Wo hill mein kya hai, batao? Swami, kya hai? Kuch ped paude hai? Aray, bohat sara insects bhi hai, haan, Swami? Snakes, scorpions, ants, lot of things may be there, Swami. And Swami said, grass is there, trees are there. He said, yes, Swami, all of these things are there. And Swami said, for millions of years, who do you think is taking care of everything on that hill? For millions of years, everybody has been provided with food, shelter, accommodation, everything is being provided for. Everybody is living there happily. Even birds are chirping, animals are moving around happily. Who has been taking care of all of them for a million years? And Swami, you only are taking care. And Swami said, itna tension kyun leta hai? You are the best of my creation. If I am taking care of even the smallest of the beings on that hill for a million of years and like that the entire universe, you are the best of my creation. Why do you think I will not take care of you? Bata. He had no answer. He fell on it, Swami. Swami, apologies and thank you very much for the assurance. So why do we ever doubt? Doubt should never come to our mind because Swami is always there with us. I'll tell you one small instance. When I was in college, I started doing meditation. And one day, because of seeing all those horror movies and, you know, these things and all that, suddenly one day I got some dreams of some evil-looking beings, witches and ghosts. So, main bahut dar gaya. I got up in the morning and night and then I said, Swami, mere to dream mein ghosts are coming, Swami. I'm very scared to sleep now. So, the whole night I kept chanting Swamis and Hanuman Chalisa. Next day, I was fine, went to college and I came back again. Night time, I started getting very scared. I said, Swami, abhi dubara dream mein ghost aayenge to bahut dar lagega, Swami, please take care. So, I prayed to him and then I slept. I am seeing from the window of one particular room which has got two attached rooms to it, left and the right. They have no doors between them. Three rooms, only one window from which I am seeing inside. From the left side, there is nobody there in that room, not even any furniture, nothing is there. But slowly and steadily, out of thin air, a halo of black hair and orange robes start materializing. And when Swami comes to the middle room, he is flesh and blood. He looked towards me, assures me, and goes to the third room and starts dissolving into thin air like he had appeared. When I got up that particular morning, I was so self-confident and I thought, Swami, there is never a period of time, there is never an occasion where you will not be there with me. So what if I am not able to see you and perceive you in physical form at any point in time, but you have given me today the assurance that you will always, always, always there with me. Thank you, Swami, for that wonderful assurance. So that is why we have to, sisters and brothers, always realize that Swami is there with us at every moment of time, in our hearts, in us, around us, with us, within us. Wherever we need Him, He's always there. He says, you need me, you deserve me. But our single-minded focus should be on Him. We should always remember, jab hum dekhte hain, to kya dekhte hain? We have to see the Swami inside of all of us when we look at anything in our creation. And that love, that vision of unity is a transformative experience. There's one devotee of Swami. He was one day coming in the New York suburban train. Suddenly a black man with a big knife came and he started asking for money and the gold jewelry of the people sitting in the compartment. Everybody got scared and started giving their money and jewelry to this person because they were very scared him holding a big knife. But Mr. Hall Honick, a devotee of Swami, sitting towards the end, was watching all this and said, Swami, behind this cruel gestures, threatening gestures and cruel face is certainly you only. Beyond this body, mind, intelligence, character, Swami, you only exist. I am going to talk only to you, Swami. And this man came with showing a knife. And Swami's devotee said, Brother, I will give you whatever you want, but you seem so hungry and famished. Would you just care to have this sandwich and then leave? Would you imagine that total person's personality transformed? He became mellowed. He sat down, kept his knife in the corner, ate those sandwiches, and then only after saying thank you, went on to his way. If we want transformation to come about in this world, we have to first have faith in Swami and understand that Swami is always with us. At one time when I was in Delhi in college, suddenly when we were going to a marketplace, I was asking my dad again and again, Dad, ye bus ka number kya hai? Nazar nahi aa raha hai theek se. And dad said, bade market nahi jana hai, operation ke paas chalte raha, to aankhein kharab ho gayi hain. -1.5, the first eyeglasses. After nearly a month's time, again cannot see, -2.5. And I pray to Swami, Swami, ye kya kar rahe ho? I'm still young, 3.5 means soda glasses all my life. Please, Swami, protect me. That very night, Swami came into my dream. Swami, ek bahut gufa ke andar mein, dur khade hain aur Bhagwan ka jo chehra hai, is looking glorious. He is young, with, you know, the marks of betel leaves, red, lips are red, and Swami is looking amazingly glorious. And I am waving the camphor at him. I am giving aarti to Swami. My mother is next to me. And after the aarti is over, Swami blows air from his mouth, which enters my eyes. And I tell Swami, see, Mami, dekha aapne? Baba ne meri aankhon ko sahi kar diya. Baba ne meri aankhon ko cure kar diya. My number will not go up hereafter. And believe me, today my number is lesser than what it was. And it has not deteriorated. If you try to understand how Swami manages our waking, dream and the deep sleep states, we'll have a better idea of who Swami is. Because when we have dropped our bodies in our sleep state, the mind is given the conviction of curing one part of the body and it's able to do it. Similarly, just imagine if you are able to drop even our minds and intellects and character from our own selves and look at the like a witness consciousness to the whole world, we can transform the world. This is what Swami has always told us, that if you realize who you really are, it does not matter which path you follow to Swami. Every path are exactly the same. In the Chara time, 1 year, Swami was giving discourses every day. First day Swami gave a discourse about the path of karma. And Swami said, many of your previous lifetimes impacts remain embedded in your feet like thorns. They don't allow you to walk fast enough. So it is the best way for you to do good actions. Remove these particular thorns and walk on the spiritual path. The next day Swami gave a discourse and said, whichever action you do, you are doing with some kind of body consciousness, with egoism in your hearts. And that is why the good actions will bind you with a golden chain. The bad actions will bind you with an iron chain. Both will bind you. And he said the best way on the spiritual path in Kali Yuga is that of bhakti. He gave the examples of Mirabai, Radha, Gauranga, various saints and sages, Tukaram. And he said, see, by the following of the path of bhakti, you can burn all that binds you and become free. And the third day Swami gave a discourse and said, if walking on the path of karma is like walking on to the road of destination, and the path of bhakti is like going in a car, it is the path of jnana that takes you by flight to your destination. That is why you always say, aham brahmasmi tattvam asi soham. You are not different from God. That is what you must realize. So I was confused. I said, Swami, how can the path of karma be the best? The path of bhakti also can be the best. And path of jnana also can be the best. How is it possible? We had gone to the interview room for picking up the boxes of sweets for distribution purposes. And I was holding two boxes. I was really sweating because it was summer's time. And Swami said, hey, why do you take two boxes? Take one by one. If you want to take two boxes, take somebody's help. So I kept both the boxes down and sat and said, Swami, last few days you have declared the path of karma, the path of bhakti, and also the path of jnana as the highest path. Swami, which actually is the best path? So I sat down. And Swami said, better. Have you ever seen a ladder? I was surprised. Where I am talking about the path to spirituality, and Swami is telling about, have you ever seen a ladder? In childhood, as my book will tell you, I was so naughty. I used to fall down from ladders. I used to jump from places. I used to be always a wounded man. And I really knew ladders very well. I said, Swami, yes, I've seen ladders. I've climbed and fallen from ladders also. And Swami said, haha, theek hai. How is a ladder made? I said, Swami, two big poles on the sides and the smaller ones to go up and come down. And Swami said, yes, exactly. The two big poles on the sides are the path of bhakti and jnana. But you must keep your feet on the rungs of karma and climb up. And Swami said, don't worry. Whichever path you follow in your life, the other two will be added on to you. And Swami gave an example. He said, do you know about Swami Vivekananda? I said, yes, Swami. What path did he follow? I said, Swami, a karma yogi. He always talked about karma, action. And Swami said, he was also a great jnani. But which path Ramakrishna Paramahansa followed? I said, Swami, he was a great bhakta. Now Swami said, why did he, with all the jnanis, come to him for clarifications? Then what about Shankaracharya? Swami, a great jnani. Then why did he write treatises on Bhaj Govindam and Saundarya Lahari, which are treatises on devotion? And Swami said, the saints and sages who are following the path of jnana and staying in the deep caves and in the Himalayan caves and the deep forests, it is because of their prayers of Samasta Loka Sukhino Bhavantu that the earth stands in its place. It's a very good action. And he said, whichever path you follow, it does not matter. Whatever your inclination is. Some of us really have the inclination to follow the path of karma. We all want to be in action. You give us some particular job, we'll put on the scarves, we'll go ahead and do the service. We love it. That is our inclination. That is our path. Some people are not very keen on that. They say, bhajan mein bitha dijiye, bhajan karenge, namsmaran karenge, aarti karenge. That is what really pleases us. That is your inclination. Some people say that let us always feel that we and Swami are one. Let us look at the treaties on oneness and Jnanam. And they always will talk about that. That is their path. Some people follow the eightfold path. That is their path. Swami says it does not matter which path you follow. Whichever path you follow, the other path will automatically be added on to you. Added on to you. So let us move forward on the spiritual path with this understanding. First of all, who is Swami? Swami is the Sarva Devata Swarupa Sampanna Purna Avatar Bhagwan. He is the Purna Avatar. He is the embodiment of love. Whichever form you pray, whichever name you take, it reaches him only. In 2003, after we finished our Gram Seva, Swami said, you must talk about the Gram Seva in the cycle one thought. And he made a team of 6 people. And he said, you must talk in conversational form. Now that was difficult for me. Why? Because you have to remember the exact closing sentence of the previous person and then speak exactly the same sentence. You must end in the same way. Then he must start. Even one day before the actual performance, I forgot my lines. Everybody was tensed, including our vice chancellor. Because we were having the rehearsals in Purnachandra. And everybody thought, if Deepak forgets his lines tomorrow, it's gone. Swami will be very unhappy with all of us. So post dinner, our hostel is very close to the Hillview Stadium, where we have a 65-feet Lord Hanuman. And I told Hanuman, Hanumanji, ye sirf meri izzat ka sawal nahi hai. Aapke Sai Ram ji ki bhi izzat ka sawal hai. Aapko meri madad to karni hi padegi. Par agar aap meri madad karte hain, agar mera kal program mein main lines nahi bhulta hoon apni, to mera aapse vaada raha ki agle ek hafte tak roz Hanuman ke upar main aake pradakshina karunga. Ye mera vaada raha. I will come every day to the hill, top of the hill, and do circumambulation for the next 1 week's time. Next day, our program went off very well. Swami was extremely happy. He gave us group photograph. He kept his hand on our heads one by one also. 7 days were over. The next day, I started doing my circumambulation. Saat din bit gaye. 7th day, after I finished my circumambulation, I was looking towards Swami's residence and thinking, Swami, you manage the entire universe. You create, sustain and destroy universes. This small mortal who has done his prayers here, I am sure you will not even be aware of it. It's too insignificant for you to be even aware of. And I don't know where my prayers have gone. They have gone to Kailasha, Brahmaloka or Narayan Loka, Vaikuntha, or they have gone to this idol of Hanuman. This Hanuman is actually made of cement and steel. Actually, maybe it is in some other plane of existence. Swami, leave it all. Kya farak padta hai? I had promised I will come for 7 days. I came for 7 days. Mamla khatam hua. Debit credit balance ho gaya hamara accounts. Abhi mujhe aur kuch guilty feeling nahi hai ki maine nahi kiya. Kar diya. So 7 days I have come and done my and followed my promise. Aise chal chalte hain. It was getting late for the college. That time college used to be at 8:30 in the morning. It's already 8 o'clock. Still in my track suits. I started coming down. The police chief sirens, which used to follow Swami's car wherever he would go out of the mandir, I heard that particular siren that very moment. There's some devotee who was not well, was in super hospital. Swami was daily going to have a look and bless him and see him, maybe see him off. I thought maybe Swami is going to the hospital as regular. So I came a little more down. Then I saw that Swami is entering the Hillview Stadium. Theek hai. Swami kai bar Shanti Vedika ka ek round laake chale jate hain wapas. आ रहे होंगे मुझे से क्या फर्क पड़ता है. I still kept coming down. When I reached somewhere where Lord Shiva statue is there in the Hillview Stadium, at that time I saw Swami is coming up the hill. And I have nowhere to escape now. There's only one path to go up and down. And I said, अभी तो फंसे. Swami will look at me in this tracksuit at this time, past 8 o'clock, and with nobody else around here, Swami will surely ask me, क्या कर रहा है यहां पे? What are you doing? No college for you, what? And that when you are specially Swami speaking to you on a regular basis, you are very scared of going out of form. So I hid myself. There's a stone there. So I hid myself behind the stone, hoping Swami will not look at me. Swami's car came. The car stopped. Swami's window went down. Swami was looking so serious. My heart missed a beat. And Swami with his finger called me here like this. Maine kaha, aaj to gaya. Aaj to jhaad padni hai. Swami called me. Idhar kya karta hai? In times of crisis, truth comes out. He says, Swami, Hanuman ka pradakshina karne ke liye aaya tha. In a very apologetic tone. Suddenly, Swami's contours changed and became very happy and said, very, very, very happy. And the window pane went up. From there itself, Swami turned the car back and went back to the mandir. And I was surprised. Having come up to Lord Shiva half the way, Swami actually could have gone up to Hanuman and then come back. But from that point itself, Swami turned the car and went back. I said, okay, anyway, Swami's will. What is me to lose? Now I'm getting late for college. Let me go. Get ready and go. Evening, he called three of us research scholars with the vice chancellor. Talking to the vice chancellor for some time. In the middle of a conversation, looked towards me and said, hey, Deepak, tarko Hanuman pasand hai kya? Do you like Hanuman? Haan, pasand hai, Swami. Ah, idhar, idhar. He waved his hand and materialized the chain with a pendant of the exact replica of Hanuman on the hilltop. He called me close. I put my elbows on his knees. I bent forward, my hair touching his chest. And then Swami started locking up that, you know, the chain behind my back and whispered into my ears, hey, ni prayers vachindira. Hey, your prayers reached me. I really wish those moments would never end. I really wish those moments will never end. Who is Bhagwan Baba? What is his nature? What is our relationship with him? What does he expect from us? Let us never forget that. What he can grant us, nobody else can ever do that. He is the one and only. Sometimes Swami will shake our faiths. Sometimes Swami will show us glimpses of a path which is not the direct path to him. Our karmic balances will take us on the wrongward path. But they also lead to him only, but in a roundabout way. You may take another few lakhs and thousands and millions of years. For him, his time is eternity. It doesn't matter for him. Even if you take a million attempts to pass his examination, he'll still be patient and say, "Theek hai, take your time." But it is up to us to be able to have that one-pointed, single-minded devotion to him and say, Swami, only you. I'm going to see only you. I'm only going to see, follow the path that you have shown to me. And then he will grant. If sincerely, if we ask for whatever we may ask for, he will grant it. I'll tell you one small example that happened in Kodaikanal. We were all as part of serving team. We were all there. Myself, one teacher, and few students were there. And we were serving. All the students were having a lunch session. So at that time, Swami was having a small bowl with some white peas, salted boiled white peas. And he was having them with his silver, small silver spoon. You would have seen this is a number of occasions in Kodaikanal. So as we were standing there and all the boys were eating, and Swami was, you know, walking with his orange towel on his shoulder and having, taking his bowl along with him with a spoon and having one by one these, you know, white peas. Kabuli chana, as we call it. Then at that time I remembered when Swami had gone to Ramana Ashram and blessed Ramana, and Swami had asked him, Ramana, you have all the samadhis of your cow, of your peacock, of your monkey, your own mother. Where is your samadhi? And he said, Swami, ye sharir hi mera samadhi hai. Swami was very happy and said, Ramana, bol, kya chahiye? He said, Swami, ek hi ichha hai. Aapko khana parosta hun. Kuch bachega to main khaunga. Mujhe purna moksh mil jayega, Swami. You partake the food that I serve you, Swami. Whatever remains as the leftovers, if I partake that, I will get purna moksham, Swami. I will get the final realization. Swami said, okay. And Swami left some food for him in the plate, and he partook of that. Swami's bowl was full of these white peas. And I was started thinking, Swami, aapka bowl to pura full hai. Ek spoon humko bhi do na, aapka bacha hua. Humko bhi shayad moksh mil jaye. You will not imagine, that very moment Swami turned back and looked towards me. My heart stopped. And I said, Swami, nahi, I don't take it seriously. Koi baat nahi. Kaha Ramana aur kaha hum. Shama kariye, Swami, itna... Swami looked over me very sharply, strictly. I said, Swami, nahi, don't take it seriously. Theek hai, you continue to walk. But he started walking towards me. And my heart was beating in and out of my body. And I became very serious with, you know, my ears and becoming red and I was sweating. I said, Swami, it's okay. I take my words back. Don't look so serious towards me. He came straight towards me, took a spoonful of white peas and offered them to me. Immediately I had it, without losing even a single second. Maybe there is moksha in it. How do you know? And he gave to all the other four people who were along, three boys and one teacher. And he again turned back and started walking in the aisle. After hearing this, I thought, Swami, maine manga tha. In sabko bhi moksh mila. Mujhe kuch special moksh nahi milna chahiye kya? Mere liye kuch khas nahi hona chahiye kya? And just imagine how Swami, you know, with children, he is a child. Right? He listens to even the smallest of our prayers. He knows that we may be undeserving for it. But his nature is to grant without consideration. And Swami took a spoonful, showed like that, he's walking away from me, and he throws that spoonful of white peas towards his face, which touch all over his face and fall down on the ground. Immediately, I go on my knees, looking for white peas rolling out of his robe one by one. He's continuing to walk. He did not crush even a single white pea. He continued to walk. Those 6-7 white peas kept rolling and coming out of his robe from behind one by one, and I am going on eating one like that. This is our Swami. This is our Mother Sai, who doesn't look at any deservedness, who doesn't look at any criteria. He says, if you love me, I will grant it to you. He takes upon himself any number of pain and sufferings to grant us what we seek from him if we seek sincerely. The best thing is what? To say, Swami, that you be in the depths of my heart. I leave all my prayers there. You know what to give, when to give, and how best to give it. Swami, I surrender on to you. Let me have that complete samarpan to you. And when we do that, Swami takes care of everything in our lives. Everything in our lives. With this, I pray to Bhagwan that Swami, bless us all, your children. Let us all become your able instruments. Let us all become your good devotees, full-time devotees and not part-time devotees. Let us all help each other on the paths which leads on to you. Let us serve you, seeing you in everything that we do. Remembering that after being so busy, there are 24 hours still left to think about you, to dedicate it to you. Let us be your perfect instruments in this lifetime. And at the end of this lifetime, bless us that we all merge in one with you forever and ever, forever and ever. Jai Sai Ram. Thank you.
Tiny! मानव जन